So, the idea of like starting your own thing, obviously, was it always lurking in your mind? After a 3-year term with a big kind of corporation, did you know early on that, did you have these like in these just like moments of like, oh, I think I could do this better, different, my way?
Yeah, I didn't really think about it or that I was going to go that way necessarily until I did, but it was never overwhelming. It never baffled me. So it must have been something I was comfortable with. And whether that was seeing my dad in business for
Did you think
years
it
or whatever, I'm
like
sure I was just used to it, right? I was comfortable with it.
yeah
It's just the way it is, right?
mm-hmm
Got some good years, some got some lean years.
yep
You go to work, you can make an impact like
yep
in your company, however you want, right? And you get to create a culture, you get to create your own thing. Yeah, it was something that I was comfortable with and yeah, enthusiastic about for sure. But it's not like I went in thinking someday I'm gonna have my own clinic, right? That wasn't really it. So just, but it was an easy transition.
There's a choice, right? Like either you're gonna go from big corporation to big corporation, or you're gonna go from big corporation to like a little startup,
Yeah.
or big corporation, learn what you like and don't like, and then do your own thing.
Yeah. And I think it was that one thing. Like, I really think that I went, oh, I'm not actually valued here. This isn't,
That's
I'm
it.
just a number. I'm
Yeah.
just pushing patients through for them, right? They don't care. And then I went, ah, oh, there's got to be more meaning to this, right? So that's when you go find it, I guess, right? You got to
Yep.
make it happen if you're not happy.
Totally.
So, yeah.
So, what does it look like when you open up your own thing? Like, what did you change as far as like culture, vibe, direction, vision? Like, what was your kind of.
Yeah, well, it was my business partner Mark and I, and it was just us, just the two of us. We built a business big enough that we could see it grow, and it could be a size that we wanted to be. But at the beginning, it was just the two of us. So,
Final lease.
yeah, sign a lease. That was the scary part. That was the only uncomfortable thing, right? And I think the first one we had to put personal guarantees on too. So that was like a ugh. And there was so much going on. It was just chaos. Like I would just work and then be at home with a newborn, and like
It's that story, right?
it
It's
was
that
crazy.
startup story where it's just like
you,
all the things are happening at
you didn't
once.
even realize it, right? You just did it,
Imagine doing it
right?
now.
Like now I think I appreciate the energy it took to do it, and I wouldn't do it. Like,
Exactly.
you kidding me? Yeah, one thing at a time, easy, So yeah, it was chaos, but it was great. Like, it was really good. My business partner was awesome. I think we hit our 3-year projections in about 6 months. So we kind of came in with a real conservative outlook, and we make this work, right? And then the community obviously needed it, and we did a good job, and it was great. It was awesome. So really enjoyed that.
How do you hit those numbers so early, do you think? What was the blueprint you were working from?
Well, two things. I think one, we were really conservative in the projections. Like, we're like, we need this to be realistic, right? I remember going to the bank and showing them our business plan, and they're like, well, this is too slow. It's going to take too long. When are you going to pay yourself? When are you going to, you know what I mean? And I'm like, but these are realistic. I can make up some numbers for you that look better if that means you're going to give me more money, right? So that was tough. That was tough getting money at the beginning, actually. Yeah. I remember having to like shut the door, lay a map on the table. Here where physio clinics are. Here's where we're going. This is how it's going to work. These are realistic numbers. I'm not going to bullshit you, right? And I really had to push to get the funding we needed. So, and it worked out great. It was awesome.
And then something clicked though, right? When people walked through that front door, there was something different about it. Did you do something calculated, or was it just you being you?
It was very calculated. Very much it was a, what don't we like? Like, we left somewhere for a reason. We wanted to change things up, and why is that, right? What didn't we like? And so we said, okay, well, these are the things we're not going to do. We're going to change this, right? And everybody with the complete understanding that a business has to make money or it doesn't exist, right? And that's to this day, I mean, that's just the reality, right? But yeah, I wanted it to be just an honest business that takes reasonable margins and treats its people, the people that work there, well, because they are the company. That's what they are. Like, it's not the building, it's not the colors on the wall, it's the people, right? So yeah, I think
Basic
that
though,
was
right? To you know this
totally.
I think the same, like I feel the same way, so I think maybe we take for granted what our basic is, but those basic principles make things work.
Yeah. No, I don't think you take it for granted. Watching episode 100 with your
Oh
two
yeah.
people like that. So you don't take them for granted. That's good. But that's I think you get it. You understand. Like, without them, it doesn't exist, or it exists differently and probably not as successfully. Right? Yeah. So
the growing the I'm interested to hear the scaling piece for you. You know, what that clinic starts with two, I don't know how big mm-hmm. it was. I don't know if there's only two beds and like two, you know, two practitioners in there. But how does the scale, how'd you figure out when to scale and how to scale?
Yeah, always really scary things to do. Mm-hmm. Like I really find scaling to be a very scary thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into the beer company, but that's where it really scares me. But yeah, because all of a sudden at that point, you got to bring on, you're more responsible. You're yeah. bringing on more staff. You have to pay them. You have to make sure you have to, you, like real slow growth is comfortable
yeah.
and is good. But then all of a sudden you're like, we got to bring somebody on. Well, now we have to bring on staff, we're responsible to them, and we have to fill that caseload, like a mm-hmm. whole caseload has to be filled. Yeah. Holy shit. Like mm-hmm. this can't happen overnight, but you want it to, right? Mm-hmm. So it was hard. And so we did make a clinic that was going to be big enough to have a, you know, I think we're 10 beds in there kind okay. of thing. So it was pretty empty when it was just the two of us or one of us working at a time. Hey? And at the beginning, it wasn't even that somebody at the front. We yeah, were the front. Yeah. Like we go to the front, do mm-hmm. everything. This was hilarious. But yeah, so that scaling kind of comes in steps. You hire and you got to grow, and then you hire and then you yeah. got to grow. And the success is kind of in those same steps. Sometimes mm-hmm. you got to step back and you earn less money, but you're growing, yeah. right? Because you have to pay somebody else to do yeah. some work or whatever. So it was always that you really got to be sure that you mm-hmm. see the progress before you take that next step and yeah. hire that next person, do that next thing. And you never really know if you are right to do it yeah. until you've either done it or failed mm-hmm. at it. And yeah, but you know, there's only one thing that I've really done well. And luckily, through those years is hiring good people, mm. right? Like, yeah, if there's one thing I do well, it's hire good people. Right.
What do you think your superpower is to do that?
I don't know. I don't know the superpower. Like, I think I'm a good judge of character. Yep. And I understand that building a business that is this this personal, you have to have people that yep. understand that and mm-hmm. that are good people, that are empathetic and mm-hmm. that are, you know, compassionate and good at what they do. But I think it's always interesting. I was talking about this the other day with somebody, and we were talking about hiring people and resumes and, you know, what school they went to and how important that is to them. And he's in finance. It's a totally different beast.
Yep.
But I'm like, I get a resume and I don't even look at the resume. I phone them, talk to them, right? And sometimes after that phone call, I'm like, oh, thanks, we'll get back to you.
Yep.
Couldn't hold a conversation.
That's it, right?
Not them, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't have them representing the clinic, right? Yeah. And then someone holds a conversation, you understand them, that's great. You bring them in. That first interview with them, we don't really touch the resume.
Yeah.
We talk about them and people and mm-hmm. where they're from and whatever.
Yeah.
And then if they've passed that litmus test, then it's a matter of looking at that resume. What do they have? And
because
everybody who comes in applies for physiotherapy, they have a bare minimum.
Right.
The college determines that, dictates that, right? Mm-hmm. So we already know they've met the bare minimum, but now who are they and what do they have and how motivated are they? So I think it's because of the order of priority in, mm-hmm. in who I cut.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. has brought good people on,
which is a different approach, right? Like it's a people driven approach versus like
yeah, but it's such a like they're the face of the company,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially now that I'm really not there that mm-hmm. much, it's super important.
Yeah, you gotta hope you did the right thing.
Yeah.
So where does this thing get going? Where is it? You fill up all 10 beds?
So yeah, yeah, for the most part. And you know what? It really happened. It was still really, Mark and I started another clinic. So he was at one, I was at the other.
Mm-hmm. As you're telling me all these like business moves, I'm thinking, where do you get the business acumen to pull this off? Does Mark have an education behind this? Is it just trusting what you think? Is it researching something? Like, how do you decide all these business things?
Yeah, it's by making really expensive mistakes.
Mm.
Totally. That's it, right? You just, what's best and putting some thought to it and chatting about it and then trying something and, ooh, that was $10,000. Didn't work out, right? So don't do that again, right? I think that's it more than anything else. Just make mistakes, learn along the way, be cognizant of your successes and your failures and try to reinvent your successes and try not to do those failures again, right? Yeah.
Like,
so.
That simple?
It's that simple, dude.
But you like you have a vision, you have an idea, you kind of work towards that spot, and then just hope that it's the right thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I love hearing it because that's you know, this is the cool experience for me, right? These are why I get to ask these questions with successful business people. It's like, well, how do they do it?
Well, especially with that business. So with the beer company, we'll get to it. But then I did some accelerator programs and things like this where you actually learn how to run a business. And I'm like, wow, would have been good to know that, right?
That $10,000 mistake.
Which one? There is a few.
Yeah.
But so I think with that one, that was it. And then you figure out what's important, what's not important, what your goal is, what you're trying to do. And so.
All right. So number two opens up.
Well, number two opens up and everything's just great. Cruising along. Awesome. Fantastic. And then my business partner decides that he wants to move back to Ontario. Mm. So I bought him out. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't afford to buy him out. So I sold the one clinic that he's at, that he runs, sold that so that there'd be an asset there we could use to actually buy him out.
Yep.
So now I'm back down to one.
Yeah.
But I'm still a big part of it at that point. Like you're being in every day.
Face, yeah. You're like
I'm the face. Presence. I'm the, yeah, for sure. And then we had got a place in Invermere. And the first summer that my kids were like just born and then 2 and 4, right? So we go there for 2 weeks, a holiday. And I was like, oh, this is the life. This is awesome.
And you had a taste of lake life. Waskasu.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there was a place that was special to me that I like going to that we grew up at. Like it was, and I really wanted that, right?
Yeah.
So that was our motivation to, you know, put ourselves in a big hole and go get a place, right? Mm-hmm. So it was important to us for sure. So we went for 2 weeks, then I'm like, how can I spend more time here? So I just approached a physio clinic in Invermere and said, how can I come on board? Like, next summer I want to come work here.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking if I work there, then we can be here, right?
Yeah.
Which is great. And so they're like, oh, yeah, you can cover here. We'd love to have you. So it's awesome. So when the next summer I planned, you know, put some more duties onto my office manager, brought in a new physio to cover for me.
Yeah.
I go work in Invermere. Everything seems to be good. I make a lot of trips back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then come September, I go back to work and I'm like, they don't need me here.
This thing is working without me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So that was a real point of, I don't want to inject myself to that extent anymore.
Yep.
Right? Like, why would I? Things are great. That's an opportunity for me to work on business development and let things run from an operational standpoint. Right? So that was a big light bulb moment for me.
Mm.
Right? And that went to, wow. Maybe my time isn't what I need here. Maybe I have something, right? Now I can just run with it.
Mm.
And it was the smartest thing that ever happened. It was awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, totally.
That aha moment when you come back in September, you're like, oh, the walls are still here. Mm-hmm. There's the door, people are coming through the front door.
You look at your profit and loss, you're like, I made money and I wasn't even here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was a beautiful thing.
Mm.
So
how did where'd your mind start to wander?
Well, then it went to, this is it. Like, I get to do what I want to do.
Like a lifestyle.
Lifestyle-wise, right? Like, I liked work, but I had to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to have to be at work, I enjoyed it. It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But it's not like I wake up in the morning and go, I get to go to work.
Mm.
Right? Mm. I was like, I guess I got to go to work.
Yeah.
Right? So I pulled back and left those responsibilities with those people.
Mm.
And, you know, there was like 12 years there where I was like 10 hour a week guy.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Which is, I'm glad you say that out loud, you know, cause people hear the story of, you know, you figuring out that you don't have to be there anymore,
mm-hmm.
but OPS, there was 12 years of all the hours, like busting your ass, right?
Yeah.
It's not an overnight thing where you can just like walk away and be like, okay, I'm still making money.
Right. Yeah. I still had to do some stuff and some things I've never let go of. Mm-hmm. Right. But it was a really nice feeling to not be needed.
Mm.
And it was great. And my opportunity to like spend so much time at home
with
the kids and stuff, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But people always wondered, like, what do you guys do? My wife and I are both home all day.
Made some good decisions.
It's awesome.
And worked out great. Put in a lot of work for more than a decade.
And we were reasonable with it too, right? Yeah. Like I understood that if I go to work, I can make a lot more money
because
I don't have to pay this person, and I can build things and I could have built scaled faster. Mm-hmm. But so there was an understanding that we're sacrificing from a financial perspective to some extent, right? We were comfortable with where we were, obviously, or we wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was you have to give some of that up too, right? Mm-hmm. You're never going to, you can't be semi-retired and make the money you're going to make if you weren't semi-retired. You would have made more, like had I been working 60 hours a week, I'd have made a lot more money.
Sure.
But I'll never regret those mm-hmm. those years for sure.